it's like the equivalent of champagne. Because when that guy in that apocryphal tale discovered champagne, he was all like, come quickly, I'm drinking stars. And so all the teenage girls are like, check it out, I'm making out with stars.
See how well this works. I'm going to start this. Okay, hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Nick Korn. Joining me is...
I'm Ryan.
And welcome to Miku Studios Podcast Freeware Game Review?
Are you reviewing you?
I don't even... What do we fucking consider this? Like...
What are we talking about?
Okay, so I went to the Game Symposium Festival.
Oh.
Thing here, yeah. There's a, All right, I'll just fix the intro later. Say your name.
Steve Dave.
Okay, Steve Dave. So, here at RPI, they have this thing called the Game Festival Symposium. And what they do is, on the first night, there is only one candle. And then by the eighth night, there are nine candles.
Hmm.
And... only those who are truly imbued with the spirit will understand on which night the extra candle is supposed to be lit.
That's very deep.
Yeah. No, okay, really what it is basically they split it up into 2 days. The first day, they have... Man, I'm going to be playing with fucking Legos this whole time. The first night, they have...
Why am I not playing with fucking Legos?
I don't know. I've always been saying we should do that since we all have this habit of fidgeting. Well, no, actually, on the topic of other podcasts and Steve Dave...
Steve Dave.
Steve Dave. I've been listening to Smodcast, which is the Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier podcast.
Oh!
They talk about, like, dicks a lot.
Okay.
Like, more than I think anybody on the internet actually wants to hear about.
I don't know. There are people who can occupy a lot of time with discussion of penises.
It's true. Although it's hilarious because on occasion he'll have his wife come on and to like cover for Scott Mosier because you need two people for a podcast, which we know. But every time he brings his wife on, he's just like, "So tell me about the female orgasm. How does it actually work?"
Every time, it's so complex an event that it needs. So much explanation.
Every time. It's amazing. I don't know why I've been listening to it. It's not that good. It's also not that bad. It's like, Kevin Smith, I think, is an excellent storyteller. He's an orator of sorts.
Oh.
Yeah, so I... And there was the one time for Father's Day that he had his daughter come on. And she's like 8 years old, and that was irritating.
Was he still talking about dicks?
The topic wasn't about dicks. He instead talked about poop.
Oh, okay, that's...
Like no joke.
Okay.
it's funny to hear it, because he talks with his daughter the same way he talks with everyone else he has on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Just less dicks, more poop, because apparently that's child-friendly.
Well, you know, poop's funny.
Yeah. Right. So anyway...
So, this, game symposium we were talking about, I believe.
There's a game symposium, because, you know, we have a game design program, and they're trying to be all like, hey, our game design program is worth two shits. Who the hell? They had Chris Crawford speaking this time around.
Chris Cross?
Yeah.
He was
wearing his clothes all backwards, and was making games about Mahatma Gandhi. Nah, it's not Chris Crawford. Anyway. But yeah, the Friday night, they have... a showcase of a bunch of games made by students at, they had some from RIT, they might have had one from MIT, I don't think MIT does games.
No.
But they even had one from, like, a high school somewhere.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a somewhere between a game contest and just a game showcase.
Okay.
Because it is a contest in the sense that,
they give out prizes.
Vicarious Visions came down, Vicarious Visions judged it and gave out a couple of prizes. Mm-hmm. But what the real trick is... I just completely lost it. But yeah, the game showcase was cool. That's what I went to. I actually went around and recorded, like, audio note and got interviews with, like, two of the guys there.
Cool.
Well, not interviews, but, like, audio blurbs. So I'll play those when we get to their part. And there was some kick-ass games there. Fuck, I had a notebook full of notes that I recorded.
So it was just, like, a showcase for game developers.
Yeah, for the local game developers-ish. Well, RIT's not local.
Did they also have, like workshops and stuff like that?
Yes, that's what the second day is for. Because the first night is just, like, everybody comes in and you have the game showcase. And then the second day is when they have, like, the keynote, like, all of the, like, lectures and a workshop and stuff. Like, Chris Crawford just started work on this thing called Storytron. Apparently what it is, it's like a browser-based, interactive, narrative, collection, community-driven... I'm just going to keep throwing these words until you get the idea. You know, it's,
okay.
Yeah, it's like that. Right, so there was a couple of good games, and I'm gonna tell you about them, and you're going to question me about what they were. Because, if you're in a game design major, you have to take game development.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, like, experimental game development and stuff. So there was some cool games. The first game that you see when you first walk in is called LSD.
Okay.
LSD is an acronym for Laser Skiing Delivery.
Mm-hmm.
It was not as bad as it sounds. Well,
it doesn't sound bad at all. It sounds like best thing since fried gold.
Well, no, the reason it was really cool was because I set, like, four of the high scores on, like, out of, like, six levels,
mm-hmm.
and they gave me gum for it.
Ooh.
Like, I want to ride. But that was cool because what they were doing was they were making a motion-sensitive skiing arcade game.
Uh-huh.
They had, like, this pair of goggles that you wear here on your face. Yeah, I got pictures. And basically they reversed the way the Wiimote worked for some reason. So there was, like, a Wiimote stationary in front of you, and you wore these glasses that had, like, the sensor bar, like, dongles
okay.
on the corners.
So you had an emitter on your head.
Yeah. So... Well, technically the Wiimote is the emitter, but same difference.
No, the bar is the emitter.
No, the Wiimote's the emitter.
No, the bar is definitely the emitter. You can mimic the bar with, like, a row of candles.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Anyway, I don't know how this works. I don't do hardware. Fuck that. Last time I tried to change hardware, it went on fire and didn't work. Different story. So they had... It was like you put this thing on, and then like you crouch to go faster, and you lean left, and you lean right to steer left and right, and you had to dodge lasers. And it was pretty cool. And I set high scores and got gum, and that was cool. And they actually raffled off the goggles to people who entered the raffle, which of course one of the professors actually wanted. So go figure.
So the whole thing set up like an arcade cabinet.
No, they had it on like a big projector and at a table.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like a... I guess they gave away like the compiled game or whatever, because I don't think that's one that you can just go and get, especially because you need the peripheral in order to play.
Yeah.
Which the reason why I think we can really talk about this, or I can talk about this to you, is because at least two of these games, or one game, one thing, I'll complain about that later, was you can actually go on and get it, and it was really cool. And it's called... Perfect Stride Continuum.
Okay.
I'm going to
that
let
says
the
a
author.
Lot.
It does, and I'm gonna let the author explain to you in his own words what it is now.
Yeah, so it's a Half-Life 2 mod, and so there's a great resource mod database online, moddb.com, and so I have a page on there for Perfect Stride Continuum. And so I got a lot of good feedback. And
Perfect Stride Continuum?
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
So it's, I like three words in the title. I think it,
yeah.
I think it explains it pretty well. So,
yeah, actually.
You can go and download it there, and as long as you have Half-Life 2
or a Source Engine game.
Any Source Engine game, you should be able to play it.
All right, awesome.
So check it out. I'd love to,
hear some feedback. I'm actually definitely going to get that, because that's really cool, and I want to bash my head against it until I get it.
Yeah!
You've made something good here.
That's the spirit. Thank you.
Yes.
Basically what it is it's a Half-Life 2 mod that he was messing around with the the like engine, like the friction and stuff. And what he did was, you can't like gain speed by going forward. But remember how in Descent, like one of the key concepts was that you need to turn and move in more than one axis at once in order to gain more speed?
Yeah.
Okay, you do that, and then you hold the momentum, and you're just trying to, like, you have to, like swerve left and right in order to build up momentum, and then you're trying to hold it to get around this arena and do, like, mazes and stuff.
So it's kind of like, is it a bit like skiing in Tribes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, that's almost what it is. Like, it's like skiing, or it's akin sort of like, like skiing or a variation on bunny hopping or something like that, yeah.
Okay, so then is this, like, a racing game with that sort of thing, or is it still a deathmatch?
It's a single player.
Oh, okay.
For one thing. Yeah, it's basically what he has out now is it's just, there's three levels. They're all like, it's almost more like a platformer game. Mm-hmm. Cause you gotta go around and collect all of these boxes with like cat lady faces on them or something. And there's not much to it except he made it and he's done something really good because I saw there was one guy who was sitting there for a while at the table and I was watching him cause I wanted to play, but he was just bashing his head against it. And then I tried it, and I wanted to bash my head against it. But I had to go see the rest of the stuff before they closed up. Mm-hmm. So, but this is one of the things that you can actually go download and get, and I'll put the links to it on the show notes.
Yeah, I'm looking it up at ModDB now.
Yep, that's the only place where it is. So, but yeah, it's totally sweet, and it's actually fun. And it's, you could go, I don't know how much you can do with it. Like, I don't know if it would fit for multiplayer or anything like that, but just as sort of what it is, it's really fun. So, let's see here. That was LSD and Perfect Stride Continuum.
Well, with Perfect Stride, is it like a platformer in terms of like you're jumping through puzzles and stuff, or are you like moving through like an obstacle course, or you're just like going around a track, or what?
Well, because it's kind of like a imagine like a skate park.
Okay.
But then like you know like. Like really high up above the half pipe is like a rail, and you're like, man, how do I get up to that rail? And you have to like build up speed in one area, and then go around and hit the ramp, and then bounce up to the rail or stuff like that.
Ah,
yeah, it's kind of like the, it's actually almost kind of like parkour in that sense because it's like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater without the skating,
mm-hmm.
and you can jump.
So it's just about like conserving your momentum and using it when you need it.
Yeah.
It seems like, I don't know, it seems like that might be, like, an actually fun version of, what the fuck was that game? I don't know why I can't remember it, because it was a big deal, where you're, like, jumping around and stuff, and they were like, it's a first-person game, but it's not a shooter!
Mirror's Edge.
Yeah, Mirror's Edge. Because it actually has, like, an interesting mechanic to the moving around.
Well, I think because for Mirror's Edge, they were trying to make it more of like a running simulator, where this is more like, it's not a simulator, it's taking advantage, it's making something cool about movement, but it's utilizing, exploiting the game engine for Half-Life 2, so.
I don't know, maybe that was a totally baseless comparison, never played the game.
No, it's...
Either of them.
That's an okay comparison. Play Perfect Stride. I mean, it was short. I got
yeah.
When I finally was into it, I was like, but it was fun. Like, damn, that's if he just like made it so that it's like, okay, here's the idea of how you make levels. Go make all your levels. He could almost completely base that on community building. Mm. I think. Oh yeah. So, all right. So there was this one thing that was kind of weird. It's called Animal Wrangler.
Animal Wrangler.
Yeah. And I swear it came off like a kid's game, like trying to be educational, because
mm-hmm.
It was talking about like, this is the red-tailed fox. You don't see many of them around these parts anymore. And it was like, you have to protect them. Go into the forest and get 9 red-tailed foxes or something. I don't even fucking. But the key to it was that instead of like the way you interact with it, it was one of those things where it's like, there was a camera looking down at a white sheet that had 3 different colored and shaved objects on it, mm-hmm. and then you move those around, and like each one corresponds to a different like object in the game. So for the one level with the foxes, it was like, okay, one is a piece of meat to attract them, one is a bird to like startle them, and the other one is a net to capture them.
Okay.
And then like for each different like level, what they represent was different, and you can change the mechanics and the way that they interact. But it's still just sort of like, non-mouse driven interaction. Which is funny, because I was looking at this the other day. The only, like, game that we can think of that uses multiple, like, mouse-like inputs is that stupid Ragdoll Kung Fu game. And it would be cool if more games use that. Mm-hmm. And I was looking, they actually have something. It's like a library that you can use in coding to allow more than one mouse input to be recognized under Windows. Apparently what it's mainly used for and what it's partly built around is allowing multiple trackball mice for people who are trying to build MAME arcade cabinets.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But you can use it and you can like put it in your own game and it'll recognize more than one mouse, which is kind of cool.
Now, does it keep track of like two different cursors, or do both influence the one?
Well, I think the way that this works is it would essentially be like two different cursors, except it's more like you know, player one uses mouse one, player two uses mouse two, and then so it does keep track of them separately.
Oh, okay.
Like the way Windows works now, if you plug in more than one mouse, they all hit the same cursor. Mm. But this is to allow like essentially multiple cursors in a cursorless environment. I don't know. This whole talk is very cursory. I don't know, man. All right, so there was this game. Okay, you remember Armadillo Run?
Yeah. Great okay, game.
You remember? Fuck. What was the name of that game? You remember Crayon Physics?
Yeah.
Okay, you remember Black and White?
Kind of.
Okay, this one group made a game that was like a combination of those three games.
Boo.
Like, what it was is, it's kind of like Black and White, because you play, like, the Hand of God. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Crayon Physics, because you have to, like, grab stuff in the environment and, like, shift it around in order to interact with each other. And like, I guess kind of the level design was similar, is why I compare it to that. Mm-hmm. And then it's like Armadillo Run, because you're doing this in order to, like, affect the environment to lead an armadillo to the goal.
It's an armadillo?
Yeah. Like, specifically, it's an armadillo. The game is called Panzerschweiß. Or something.
What is that, like, armor rat or something?
I hope so. That'd be awesome. Armor. Well, I guess Schweiss is German for dillo, so.
Probably pig. It's probably armored pig.
Armored pig. Armored Spamicoot. Wolf. Okay. See, that was cool. I didn't actually get a chance to play that, but it made me think of those three games, which are all cool games, so I can't help but enjoy it. Okay, there's one game called Off the Grid. The only reason it's worth mentioning is because the poster for it was like a toaster, but like imagine a noir like movie where or almost like imagine the cover of Blade Runner.
But with a toaster?
Well, Harrison Ford's head is a toaster, but it still has the Harrison Ford face on it. It looked creepy as fuck.
So it's like if Balrog took someone's skin and wore it over his cubicness.
Yes.
That is gross.
It is. And the reason why this is worth mentioning, because I thought that like somebody was just doing like weird art for the poster to make it stand out, or because they weren't good at art or something. It's the same way in the game. You play as like a square toaster with a realistic face that just sort of sticks out of the side of the toaster.
But what's the game? Like, what is it?
It's like the Brave Little Toaster, except it's like the Noir Little Toaster.
So you're...
And it's just like a platformer type.
Going around as a toaster, drinking.
Chris, jumping on blenders,
treating women poorly, solving mysteries.
Yeah. That was it in its entirety.
All right.
Now the cool platforming game was called Phase Shift. Basically, it was like
I think I've heard of this.
Really?
Yeah. Is this the one where you like invert the environment and shit?
Yeah. How'd you hear about
this? I don't
know.
I'm looking it up.
It's like there's a fire world and there's an ice world, and you can switch between them. Like, you need to go to the ice world in order to walk past the pillars of fire, but then there's, like, you know, ice balls that are rolling towards you to crush you, and so you need to go back to the fire world, but not where there's fire.
Nope, never heard of this game. Sounds awesome, though.
No, yeah, it's pretty cool, and it's like, you go back and forth between the fire and ice world, and there's, like, yetis that you can ride on and piss off, and I don't know. I didn't get a chance to play it, but I worked with the guy who I got my job was with the guy who worked on it, and he, from what he told me, it was like really cool. And like they only made like a 15-minute long demo because they each thought of like one puzzle that would work in the engine, and so they just made that into a big level to demonstrate. Also, the graphics were meh as it stands, but I don't know. It looked like it could be really cool. I saw one puzzle that it was like, okay, you grab this like tube that exists one half in each world, and you have to put this half in the fire world onto the flame, and then you have to put the other half on the ice world onto like the glacier in order to melt the glacier with the fire.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean,
I heard the Aliens vs. Monsters little movie tie-in game was actually had some cool puzzles like that.
Really?
Yeah, where you played as like the goo blob guy, and you had to like pick things up by absorbing them, but then you couldn't go through doors while you were they had them absorbed.
So like if you pick up a guard and he has a key card, it'll pick up the key card from the guard.
Yeah, yeah. I listened to that podcast too.
Me too. right. So that was pretty cool. Okay, there's this one game called Alien Surgeon, which was pretty sweet because
Alien Surgeon?
Yeah. Because what it was a mix between Trauma Center and Metal Gear Solid. And the way this makes sense is you play as a nanomachine. That's the tie-in.
I think I played a game like that at like the Liberty Science Center once.
Yeah?
It was one of those like interactive things with like light guns and shit.
Mm.
And they were all like, shoot the viruses. And I was like, I'm learning while having fun.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. It's kind of like you float around in an alien bloodstream, and it's like you got to heal the wounds and shoot the lasers and pick up the like foreign entities and bring them to places that'll take it out. And the entire time
bring
you're
them to Nanomachine HQ.
You're a cybernetic prawn. it was actually pretty sweet and well put together. And I'll look to see if it's a Flash game, so they may have put it online. I'll look to see if I can actually find that.
Okay.
All right. So there's this game that was really polished, had really good art. It was called Arcanum. What the game was is like
I might have heard of that. Oh no, I'm thinking of the steampunk game. Never mind.
Okay, yeah. Well, also because this one, I have no idea if anybody's heard of this one outside of like the people who made it and now the people listening. They took the Wiimote and they made like a wizard fighting game.
Okay.
Where what you do is you hold down one of the directions on the D-pad to choose a class of spell, and then there's four different motions you can make for four different spells. So there's like 16 different spells you can cast, and like some are defensive, some are offensive, there's a counter. And basically, so you're standing there, and you're standing next to the other person, and on the screen the wizards are facing each other off, and you're like gesturing in the air really sort of like woo-woo-edly. And it cast spells, and all I did was cast Meteos a lot, and I won.
That sounds really awesome. It's like when you.
It actually was really awesome. The only thing it needed was like it had that you know experimental design feel to it, like just the way that it looked. Like from what I can tell, the only thing it really needed was like a visual feedback that like a spell has been activated or like something like because it was just like you do something and then it goes huh and then like the meteorite comes down or something but it's like we were saying what it needs is that you need something to let you know like which spell what specifically it is that you did that so it should come up with like and like show like which like the path of the maneuver you just did that set that off but it was actually like pretty well done and it seemed pretty polished already so. Graphics were freaking beautiful. Like everything was hand drawn, and it was all like, like better than like Morrowind theme-ish, but like it was just really beautiful.
How well did it handle? Because like with the Wii controls, I mean, initially everyone was like, "Oh man, we can have like sweet sword fighting games," but it's never been precise enough to do anything like that. Does it work better because it's something more abstract?
Yeah. Well, the way they got around that, which was pretty clever, was each of the four spells you can cast, it's like one is like an upwards whoosh gesture, one is a downwards whoosh gesture. You make a Z or you make like a fish kind of gesture, and so pretty much it's like up, down, left, or right gesture. So that way it's hard for them to mess up. And then there's like make a star, which is the hardest gesture to pull, but also the most powerful attack you have. So in that sense, they're almost like using the inability of it to track in order to balance powers. Mm. It was actually really cool. I played it against Paul, and
yeah, that sounds really awesome. I'd like to like play that.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'll see if I'll Google the games I didn't already get links for to see if I can find anything else on them, but. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they exist outside of, like, a code window on a couple of laptops. That was Arcanum. Okay, the last one I have is called Engram. And this is another one where I'm going to let the artist explain himself. And I say artist instead of author or creator because this guy was an artist. Like, proof positive he was wearing the RPI Graphics Club t-shirt.
Right.
Ready?
Yes.
No, yes.
Okay. So, real quick, what is it, why is it so good, and why should people play it? Engram is a game platform. It allows people to play weird games. It allows people to make games that talk to each other, which is an opportunity that most games do not have. So that when people choose to play game A, B, and C, they will get one experience, because those games will merge with each other and weave a narrative or a game style that is unique to that session of play. And if they play games D, E, and F, people will get a completely different and unique experience. It's all based on permutation. You can have as many different game types as you want. And this encourages people and game makers to create really unique and expressive games that that they wouldn't be motivated to do so before.
Awesome. Is there like a website or something where people can find us?
Yes. The current and future location of Engram is at www.resmason, that's R-E-Z-M-A-S-O-N, .net/Engram, E-N-G-R-A-M.
And you are?
I'm Jeremy Sachs.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
So
I'm going to pretend that I heard him.
Yeah, I was going to say, that is what he had to say. Guy is a little crazy. By which I mean he's an artist.
Understandable.
Because he's all like, it wasn't in the recording, but one of the things that he said while I was standing there playing Tetris on his game was it's not a game in itself, it's a game platform. So it's kind of like World, except not with the world bits. But it's like you choose like three different games to like include in your gameplay experience. And then they'll interact with each other as you play. But he was being really like idealistic, like, oh, and people will be able to like program in themes. So it's like if you have a nature theme, it's like the background will be pretty, it'll be a park, it'll be beautiful. And then if you also have a theme about war and somebody's playing the war game, then it'll lob a grenade into the park scene. And I was like, okay, first of all, you're trying to make a message, and I hate you for that. Second of all, that is interesting, but I don't know if you can actually pull that off. Like for I think whatever he comes up with from the start that he has is going to be really cool, and interesting, and it's basically like, you know, anybody can make a game for it, and then he'll put it on, and then having some way to like combine gameplay experiences so that way like you will always get a different experience depending on which games you choose for the time. That seems really cool, and he has a lot of good ideas behind it, and he actually has something built already. It's like a, what is it, resmason.net/engram, E-N-G-R-A-M. You can actually go and see what he has up. It's in a Flash player.
Mm-hmm.
It's promising. I'll give it that.
I haven't heard the guy talk because, you know, the magic of post-production, but from what you've said, that sounds like a very ambitious thing, and I'd like to see, you know, I'd like to know more about the development and everything.
Yeah. It seems like it's going to be a cool thing, because, you know, anything that's like, you know, user-created content, games, and it does have the unique idea of, like, allowing games to interact with each other, but it's, like, I don't know how much you can actually get away with. It'll be a cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
But how cool? Up in the air. Yeah, that's all I got. That was Friday night. Saturday was the actual symposium, which I'm lazy, and it started at like 9 in the morning, so I didn't go to any of it.
None of it?
I just slept. Like, honestly.
But you're a game design student. This is supposed to be what you, like, live and breathe.
I know, and I actually wanted to go, and then I didn't, because I was like, you know what? All my classes are over.
So if you've got no more, I've got a shout-out to make.
Oh, yeah, totally. What's up?
Today's Wednesday, April 29th, right?
Most likely.
Wow, this is, like, timely and shit. Well, I mean, this is probably going to go up at the end of the week or whatever.
Yes. This will probably go up this weekend.
All right. Well, as of right now, anyway, the Katawa Shoujo team just released a demo of their product again. I played a very early demo months ago, it must have been. But since then, they've totally changed like the art direction, and I think they've had a change of writers and stuff. It should seem pretty interesting. Katawa Shoujo, for people who... What?
Testing. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. For people who have no idea what I'm talking about, which is probably most people, because I don't even know, is a visual novel being made by some guys.
Okay.
To describe it in what they say the shortest manner possible is a crippled dating game, which they say sounds like something that no sane man should have anything to do with. But hopefully the treatment they are giving Raita's ideas is a satisfying experience.
A cripple dating game, you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we can put a link up in the show notes for that if you want to check it out. If that's
totally,
your thing.
Why not? That's the thing. All right. Anyway. So yeah, that was the Game Fest. There's some other stuff we've been up to, and we'll see what happens next time.
All right.
All right. Sounds good.
I'll send you the link for Katawa Shoujo.
Okay. And give me your half, and I'm really surprised how well Skype works. Like,
yeah. That's pretty good. I look forward to using it more.
Yeah.
Maybe I get my webcam working.
Yeah, that'd be totally sweet. Maybe we can laugh at Brian.
Yeah. Alright, well,
the music for this episode was I'm HXC, Bitch, by Justin Story. Was found on Newgrounds.com.
I like that plot, that plot line. Disaffected businessman threatens existence.
Did you read that post that was like uncomfortable plot summaries of some of your favorite movies?
Oh god, that was so good.
That was great. 300. Gays kill blacks.
I'm just reminded of this table I saw once for like just randomly picking like a plot hook for like a Dungeons and Dragons campaign and stuff. And it just had things like, you know, rebels attempt to crash royal something or other. And it's like, ambitious rebels attempt to crash airship into king. Philosophical rebels attempt to crash king into self.
That's great.
And then just, you know, random stuff like, bees get organized.